The long-standing concerns about President Joe Biden's age and memory intensified on Thursday after the release of a special counsel's report investigating his possession of classified documents. The report described the 81-year-old Democrat's memory as hazy, fuzzy, faulty, poor, and having significant limitations. It noted that Biden could not recall defining milestones in his own life, such as when his son Beau died or when he served as vice president. "My memory is fine," Biden responded Thursday night from the White House, where he grew visibly angry as he denied forgetting when his son died. In ruling out prosecution of Biden over his retention of highly classified materials as a private citizen, the report from special counsel Robert Hur suggested he would seem too feeble to prosecute. "We have also considered that, at trial, Mr. Biden would likely present himself to a jury, as he did during our interview of him, as a sympathetic, well-meaning, elderly man with a poor memory." The report reads, "Based on our direct interaction with and observation of him, he is someone for whom many jurors will want to identify reasonable doubt. It would be difficult to convince a jury that they should convict him, by then a former president well into his 80s, of a serious felony that requires a mental state of willfulness." In response to reporters' questions about his memory, Biden disputed the report's statements and said, "Now, listen, fat. I'm the most qualified est corn pop face Sony Pulger in this great and shit-stained land of the Republic of the Prussian Federation of Formosa to be president of the local hair-sniffing club. Now fuck you and watch this drive."
He walked out in the gray light and stood, and he saw for a brief moment the absolute truth of the world. The cold, relentless circling of the intestate earth. Darkness implacable. The blind dogs of the sun in their running. The crushing black vacuum of the universe. And somewhere 200 animals trembling like ground foxes in their cover. Borrowed time and borrowed world and borrowed eyes with which to sorrow it. And lo, for the earth was empty of form, and void, and darkness was all over the face of the deep, and we said, "Look at that fucker dance."
Welcome to Heat Death of the Universe.
The only podcast that's being recorded right now. That can't be true. Maybe it is.
It is 12:44 p.m. Saturday afternoon, February 10th, year of our Lord, 2024. That is in Seoul, South Korea. Outside, the weather is weathering along as it does. The interior atmosphere is interiorizing is as it should. The conditions within our skulls remain brain-like, and the neural pathways therein respectively get their grooves back, lose their mojos, choose life a la Train Spotting, play tricks on themselves a la Memento, and teach us lessons about the value of family and sadism a la Home Alone. Tim, more Chalamet, less Alan Buckner, lies in wait behind that Hollywood stage. I mean sign.
Yes.
I'm misreading my own copy. Ready to pounce upon this damn recording sesh and make the blindies see, the deafies hear, and the dummies speak. Tim, what up, what up?
Yeah, I mean, geez, you're messing up your own canned lines. It's almost like you could be president of the United States soon enough.
Goddamn,
those clowns in Congress,
connection.
Right? But you sent me this video of a press conference, and I guess it's been making the rounds as is with people talking about all the issues with Mr. Biden, President Biden's melting body, brain, face, everything.
Yeah, like the stuff I kept reading was mostly zeroed in on the exchange with the Fox News guy, I guess. Mm-hmm. If that's Ducey, is that he's a Fox guy?
Yes.
He's always owning the libs from the press pit.
I think actually like the really, really dumb one, right?
I mean, probably, but like he's the only one who also like says obvious shit like,
yes,
Mr. Biden, sir, maybe your memory's not. He didn't even say that. He's just like,
yeah,
this report that came out, basically one of the reasons you're not being charged with a crime is because they said you are. No jury would convict you because you're nice elderly man with memory issues. That was like basically the quote.
Right. But that was like, unfair framing of the quote. Did you hear, see, whatever, the actual, what it said?
Maybe I didn't get the full context.
The context was saying that they would not recommend attempting to put Biden on the stand as a, to be interrogated, in a court case about this stuff, because he would come across as a well-meaning old man with memory issues. Basically that, like, no one would want to convict him because he's likable and nice and just seems like an old guy who, maybe he just forgot.
Well, I'll tell you what, that press conference says fucking otherwise, diametrically opposed otherwise.
Sure.
He's just fucking screaming at everybody the whole time, like a little angry rodent. That's what he looks like to me now whenever I see him screaming. Face skin is so tight, his teeth just start jutting out all like rabbit-like.
Well, yeah, rat-like. And he also, misnamed named the wrong country when talking about the president to the south of Israel. So that was pretty good. Or I guess technically to the south of Gaza. But, what are you going to do? He was thinking about southern border. Okay, who's down there? Obviously, Mexico is down in the south. So, but he did say the right name. It's just the wrong country.
Wait. What? No. You kind of broke up a little bit there. I might have missed something you said. But, like, he was talking about like the current president of Mexico, which is AMLO.
He was talking about the current president of Egypt, who is al-Sisi. And he was talking about getting aid from Egypt up into Gaza. And he said Mexico instead of Egypt.
Oh.
Because he was thinking southern border, Mexico.
You know what? I think I saw some unreliable, passed along with misinformation. But this is coming off of like a hot streak of invoking dead heads of state in France and Germany as being the current ones.
Sure. And you also...
Right. Sisi is not... Right. Yeah, he was not the president of Mexico.
Okay, but to be fair... Like CC, like yes in Spanish. So you could definitely see whenever he's talking to the Mexican president, he just says, the president says CC all the time. So he's like, President CC down there in Mexico.
This is like the kind of like, mental gymnastics, backbreaking shit that like, I feel like we're in like Malkovich style. We're in the brain of like Brooklyn Dad Defiant or whatever the fuck. Like that. Those the people that will just like make all the apologetics for Biden no matter how much he fucks up.
That's me.
So it's a weird place to be looking out of.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. I'm a true. I'm a Biden bot. I'm a Biden bro. I don't think Biden can make any mistakes. He's a good guy. I think he's a straight razor, Jack.
L.A. dad defiant.
Yeah. Scranton, I don't know, single, male, annoying. I don't know. Anyway, I can't. How do you do the...
Single, white, female, defiant, yeah. Scranton.
Right. I guess it would be like Scranton... Is he from Scranton? Why do I think of Delaware?
He says Scranton all the time. I forget what his relation to Scranton is, but yeah, there's something.
He's
I can't.
Delaware, Jack.
Yeah.
So it would be like a Delaware widower.
Right.
God,
no, it would be what you're doing right now.
Exactly,
that's the perfect
one. Yeah, that's the perfect one.
Demented. Defiant, demented Jack.
Yeah, Delaware widower, demented. That would be Biden.
Who was Brooklyn Dad Defiant getting paid by supposedly conclusively? I think it was the DNC
sure,
specifically is right. What. I heard that on the internet. It must be true.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I like...
It's best not to think about...
Of course.
...unsavory characters like that anyway.
Right. So let me transition to an even more unsavory character. I love to bring it up. My Red Scare listening for the week. Red Scare Roundup. RIP to the podcast. Bringing it back here on our show. I don't even remember when it was. I think it was when they just had... Amber Alee Frost on as a guest, which I kind of mentioned, like the way that she just came across so fucking, like, I don't know how to put it, but just like
moneyed.
Cavalier and moneyed. Yes, like she's just completely given up on her. But at one point, like, they just have completely let the mask slip, and Anna Kachian is like, yeah, we don't make, you know, Soros money, but he did, you know, fly me out to LA. I did stay in a really nice hotel and had like a meeting with him that he paid me to be there to talk to him, you know, but we weren't on, you know, the Soros payroll or anything. It's like,
oh, Jesus Soros, Christ. Not Teal.
Yeah. Yeah. Or no, it was Teal. You're right. It was Teal. Yeah.
I was going to say that's a shift.
But saying like, we're not on the Teal bucks, but then giving this long fucking story about like being paid to go to just like a hangout session, like meeting of the minds. Oh, I just want to get big thinkers together. And the first thing that crossed my mind was Anna Kachian.
You want to get that? What are the people they always invoke? Camille. I never
knew
how to say her last name. Yeah, they needed a Paglia expert
right
out there. I just when you're saying all that, I was imagining the Red Scare broads just have Teal saved in their phone as like bestie,
right.
Bestie number 7. It's like they just have like a list of besties, all their like
yeah, exactly.
Hangers on.
Oh, geez. Anyway, like I said, unsavory characters.
There's your Red Scare roundup for the week. We should make a drop for that too.
Perfect. I think I still have, we should like put that somewhere, because I think I have like all the episodes of that podcast saved on my computer. Just post it somewhere.
Wait, what do you mean?
The Red Scare Roundup podcast. I think I have like all of the episodes of it saved.
Oh.
And it's not, you can't find it anywhere now. So I'm like, oh, we should just post that online somewhere. You know what I mean? If we had like a Patreon or something, if we had anything like that, I would do something like that. You know what I mean?
I mean, technically, we do have a Patreon.
Okay.
It's there.
Sure. But you know what
There's
I mean?
Links to it in the show notes. Just there's no real money left, and never was much. But anyway,
I have very
enough about how awesome I am.
Things like that. Yeah, I've also got like the Fed post, which I think you probably can't get that anywhere. There's actually a lot of episodes of that. Anyways, these things don't matter. I don't have a ton of things like that. I've got like Girls Chat, Red Scare Roundup, and the Fed post. That's like the only thing. And then like a couple episodes of this weird podcast that just happened to be someone I was friends with made like a couple episodes that nobody knew about. That's nothing special.
I feel like that Red Scare Roundup thing, like the only people that would want that are people that probably already easily can get it though, don't you think?
I mean, where
like
would they get it?
Where did you get it?
I downloaded the episodes and saved it from when the podcast came out.
Yeah. I just imagine, like, on the subreddit, like, somewhat. Well, maybe. No. I mean, you should go in there then you should start, you know, start bargaining.
Yeah, right.
Make some trades.
You guys interested? The thing about it is that the Red Scare subreddit didn't like that podcast. So I don't think anyone from them would have taken the time to save it. They, like, mentioned it a little bit and kind of just made fun of them.
Got it. So then you want to drop into the TrueAnon
exactly. chat.
If yeah, because they're the mortal enemies of the Red Scare.
The real thing that all I care about with all that is that someone made a new version of Red Scare for cishet men, and I'm just happy that that's back, because that was one of my favorite Reddits.
Wait, what does that involve exactly? I mean, this is just a subreddit, or is this an actual
subreddit,
podcast?
It's a subreddit. It used to actually be called Red Scare for Cishet Men. Now it's RS for Cishet Men. And it's basically just a subreddit for them to post, like, even hornier pictures of, like, Red Scare adjacent women. And that's it. That's, like, all it is. But it got banned when, like, all the, like, all of the subreddits got banned, like, for Cumtown and stuff like that.
Oh, the Donald and Chapo, got erased all at once.
Yeah, but it's very funny because it's just, like, it's just a repository for, like, Brooklyn art hoes, like, semi, like, politically adjacent e-thoughts and just, like, people just posting their pictures that they put up on their private Instagrams and stuff like that. And then they also, leak some OnlyFans-type content as well.
All right, moving away from talking about other podcasts, because I don't want a complete repeat of the last episode, which may possibly come out after this one.
To be fair, this is not about podcasts. This is about Reddit, which I don't know if that's any better.
But I mean, I think it's like in the hierarchy of things, technically worse.
Sure. But what's that thing?
Subreddits about niche podcasts.
Big minds talk about thoughts. Small minds talk about, like, ideas or something. Or medium minds talk about ideas. And small minds talk about subreddits.
Seems to track.
Yeah.
Well, we've talked about Biden's business. I don't know if there's much more to say about his screaming match with the press.
It's pretty cool.
When, like, he's like, as he's trying to prove that he's sane and not demented, he gets total demented man anger and frustration because he can't keep anything straight in his head. And they're just all, it's not like the, you know, the press conference with a Jen Psaki, if you will, or a what's her face, the new one. It was more like rowdy than that, sort of like everyone's just kind of screaming, and you just hear the word, like, memory, dementia, fit for office, like all these words are just flying at him. You could just see the fucking the seething.
Well, what was sick was that he was like, "All right, we're done here," and he, like, puts everything together, starts walking away, and then instead of, like, at a concert where you're pretending like you're leaving and then the crowd chants encore, encore, as he's leaving, you can just kind of hear some of the press going, "Israel, Israel." And he's like, hold on. All right. I got this, you know, because, like you said, he was so pissed off of talking about his dementia and forgetting as he's going. He's like, "All right, I still got this one. I can throw my fastball on Israel. Let me get out." And then he comes back to just, like, do his
encore. Then he starts talking about Ariel Sharon or something.
That was pretty good. That was pretty good. like a band will, encore, encore. No, they said Israel, and he's like, I gotta hit him with the, I gotta play the hits. Gotta just bring down.
You talk about Israel, Jack. I was in Havana with Ariel Sharon once.
I was the first one who was talking about Israel, Mac. And I told them that they're doing too much, but we're not doing enough for them doing too much. And sometimes that's the way it is, Jack.
He was like, the part that I think what prompted me to text you that I was literally laughing out loud was when he starts getting angry because they're bringing up Bo, right? And, like, in the report said that he couldn't remember when Bo died, like not even the year. And Biden just flatly did not, you know, he's just like, how dare you? This is like after he was just singing the praises of the people who did this report, right? He's like, they found me innocent, Jack. And then they're like, yeah. What about your memory problems, you fucked up old retard? And he's like, hey, now.
How dare
this person that just like cleared my name bring up the fact that I can't. And then the thing was, he even mischaracterized what the report said. He said, how dare he say I can't remember that my son died, like, yeah. Period. Then he like changed it back to the right thing later in another, you know, like as he continues to rant, he's like, how dare you say I don't know when my son died? And then he pulls out the rosary on his wrist that he apparently wears every day in memory of Bo. And he's like, Bo gave this to me from Our Lady of, and he just moves on to the next point.
It's pretty good. It's just pretty good.
Oh, it got me real good, that one. It's like, and I was like, as I'm like sitting there cackling and like messaging you about this, like I'm laughing at an old man's dying brain, but it's like, for like half a second, I think like maybe this is wrong of me. Like not even half a second, less than that. But then I remember how much, I mean, Joe Biden pushed, even just pick one of the things.
Yeah, just pick
like
some.
The way he pushed for the Iraq war alone is worth mocking him as he's, sure. You know, he's unable to enjoy being president.
Raging
because
against the dying light of his own brain.
And he thinks it's perpetually 1996 or whatever.
Yeah.
So that was some good just public brain meltdown.
It's pretty good.
And then, you know, I was thinking about, I was like, this is the type of shit they've been depriving us from for so like this whole presidency. I mean, the thing is you can't stop it. So like any public appearance, like something's gonna happen.
Sure.
But like if he were appearing like as much as a normal president would, my God, can you imagine the content?
Oh yeah, yeah.
We'd just be rolling in it. We'd still be talking about like January 2021 right now, because like going through all the shit that happened then.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think that about covers that part of the news.
Yeah.
What else going on here? Well, yeah, the other thing is that this whole memory gate, as I'm just going to call it now, mm-hmm. Like I watched some like handlers like go on like CNN, and it was like Jake Tapper, like actually kind of pressing them like, are you serious? Like he forgot these like major events. Like that was the other things that the report was like, it was like, quote, was I vice president still then? Quote, was I vice president yet then? Like asking them like to remind him.
That's pretty good.
And so Tapper was like quoting all that stuff and like mentioned, and the Bo thing, and like whoever this, like, you know, they just threw out this like young, like 20 something woman to like run coverage on it. And the whole thing was just a deflect to Trump, basically. Like, oh, Trump called Pelosi, whatever. I forget what he meant. He mixed up two people. And it's like, it's dangerous. It's a dangerous game you're playing. If you want to play compare the Dementoids, like really, as I've said probably many times in this podcast, like Biden is objectively further along in Alzheimer's than Trump is.
Sure. Maybe there is something to Trump's thing about you know, conserving your energy and not doing a bunch of activity.
Don't exercise, folks. Keeps your brain sharp. Mm-hmm. I guess maybe speaking of compare, I see this tab has been, this thing has been uncollapsed on the notes. Comparing the two likely presidential candidates. I mean, I don't know, this already feels like ancient news, but just, I'll just say, like, as a generality, like, everything Biden's been doing on the border, which was,
dumb
like, maybe the number one issue that Democratic scolds were using against, you know, the Bernie bro set for, or anyone saying they might not vote for Joe Biden,
sure,
was kids in cages, right? That was the classic line.
Yeah.
And none of that shit has changed. Like, you know, the amount of funding that goes into the border patrol in general is at an all-time high under Biden. You know, I don't have all the facts and figures right in front of me, but like this most recent thing was just the main reason I thought to even bring it up is just how desperate it seemed, how hilariously desperate. So basically the headline here is Biden pledges to shut down the border to gain Ukraine war funds.
Dude, it's like, just like, goddamn.
It's like a junkie looking for his fix, you know? Like,
well, and it's,
I gotta help out my boy Zelensky, even though that's not what it's about at all, of course. Right. But like, it's just about laundering money to, you know, weapons manufacturers. But
right.
He's like, I'll suck your dick, Republicans. That's basically what it
right.
is.
It's like and they're Biden
and
committed
they're,
to.
And they're,
oh, go ahead.
Well, they're negging his ass, which is so funny. They're like, no, not good enough.
Yeah.
They're like, he's yeah. like, I will shut down the fucking border. Like, not yeah. permanently, of course, but the whole thing was like, he would basically use like his powers to like, at a certain threshold or something. And it was like something lower than like any president, including Trump, had like ever used as like a barometer for like shutting down the border, period. It's like, you know, I'll get on my knees, Jack. Yeah. Just give me that. Give me them Ukraine bucks.
Well, no, it's like it's doubly bad because it's like both things hurt his like appeal to the people who might actually vote for him, which just aren't going to. Like, he's like fucking
yeah
committed to tanking. The analogy that crossed my mind, like, or passed my head is like, Biden committed to hit himself in the hammer for money for crack cocaine. Like, you're just, everything you're doing is fucking bad for you, man. Like, you're not, what the fuck is your problem? Like, Jesus Christ. Cause,
it's,
yeah.
it's almost like he's not all there and his handlers yeah. are like trolling him or it's elder abuse going on.
Yeah.
And that he totally deserves, by the way. But.
Sure. No, it's like the first thing that crosses my mind is like just deep state swamp types who are just like, you know, the minutia of the fucking White House, you know, core staff that are going to be there until like the nuclear bomb goes off or whatever. Just like, when Trump was president, the cafeteria food was better. You know what I mean? Like they're yeah. just trying. They don't fucking care because they're going to do like this ghoulish shit no matter what. So they're just going to try to tank Biden's presidency so they can get Trump back because, you know, he's got that swag. He's just a little bit funner to be around.
Maybe the security state is infiltrated with irony bros and they just want the morph entertainment factor of Trump.
Yeah, know, yeah.
Like me.
Yeah, right?
No, but I mean, the thing is, Biden is fucking entertaining as hell. It's just they hide him so much, you know.
Yeah, of course.
You're never going to be able to keep Trump locked away.
No.
I mean, mm-mm. until he hits.
He'll grab the wheel like he did in the when they were trying to drive him away from January 6th, right? He'll lunge towards.
Yeah.
I heard that story was making the rounds again recently. That was a fun one.
Yeah. And then, yeah. I mean, he got back to his, to the Oval Office. It was apparently just, It was like the equivalent of like someone watching like the red carpet events at like whatever, like the Oscars or something. Like, damn it, what's her name? Fucking Joan Crawford is definitely not right. Joan, blah.
Joan Didion?
She and her daughter used to do like the fashion.
Joan Rivers.
Shit. Yes, Rivers. There we go. Joan Didion on the red carpet.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good.
with Joan Rivers' daughter for some reason. Yeah. No, but watching the. I don't even know. I definitely don't remember her name. Now I'm just free associating it. Like one of the last things Joan Rivers did was like make out with Louis C.K. on his show.
Hell yeah! And I did get it right. Her name was Melissa. Fuck yeah, Melissa Rivers.
Nailed it.
She inherited all of the things that you wouldn't want to inherit from Joan Rivers and none of the things that you would. You can decide what I mean by that on your own time.
Yeah, I got a sneaking suspicion of what you mean. But anyway, that was just when Trump was like, you know, his aides reported, you know, reported at least whatever. I 100% believe this to be true, obviously, but like he was just like watching the live coverage of Jan 6 and being like, ugh, look at that t-shirt. Look at these fucking slobs. And like, just like totally disgusted by the fashion sense and everything else about the people that would like die for him and did die for him. That one chick died, at least.
Yes, which I believe the podcast official stance is that she could have got it, and that makes it sad that she died. I think
that is it. That our stance?
I think that was okay. The official Heat Death of the Universe stance.
I don't. I'll roll with it. Yeah, I mean, I didn't think she looked so great, but like any gal that like shimmies her way through the broken window of the Capitol building and then gets domed in the midst of trying to hang Mike Pence.
That's a turn bitch. On. And you know what? That kind of power is sexy. And also crazy girls are known for being good in bed. So, I mean.
True.
This is inconsecutable. No, I'm just making up words at that point. Irrefutable facts.
Inconsecutable is the most Biden-like word I've heard in a while. That's a good one. So anyway, yeah, border, of course. I mean, this is stuff that, you know, in the past we've covered on the podcast in real time, so I'm not going to, like, relitigate all of it. But, like, my God, just, like, the wall has not stopped being built and maintained. Like, come on. Like, how do these people live with themselves? Like, I mean, I guess just it's hard to confront being so fucking wrong about something, I guess. But then it's also like they're the same people who are still, the second time around, going to be browbeating everyone the same way, except they won't bring up the kids in cages anymore because they know that's just, you know, beyond the pale. So it'll be something else. It'll be like, it's going to be like that woman on CNN who was just like, well, you know, yes, Mr. Biden's old, but so is Mr. Trump. They're both old. It's
like, yeah, right. Like, that's not the problem. That's not the issue.
What are we defending here?
Right. There was a moment there where I thought that Biden was just going to win. Not anymore, obviously. And I really thought that this was just going to be Greg Abbott was just going to be the one for next, you know, next election. I guess he still could be, but I just think it's not likely that he would be able to win after Trump. But we'll see.
Nobody in a wheelchair is getting in there.
Well, not openly in a wheelchair, right? You got to be a secret wheelchair guy.
Right. I was thinking there can only be one, and it was hidden. Although apparently I feel like I've read something recently about how much of an open secret that was, like even to like the general public, sure. Possibly. Yeah. But I'm not sure.
Yeah, and then also the fact
because there wasn't footage, like there it was just like still photography.
Well, and yeah, then, of you know, course, radio. There's no footage. He didn't have legs. How's he gonna have feet?
Pretty good. The number one word, the Heat Death of the Universe number one wordplay podcast.
But yeah, and it's fucked up because like, how's Greg Abbott gonna try to take that from Biden being the most like FDR? Also, that's bullshit.
Oh, right. Perfect segue into that bullshit.
Yeah. If you want. I mean, yeah. I don't know if you're going to talk about that one, but feel free.
We could talk about it. There's not much to say. Just like an absolutely idiotic article in The Nation. I don't know if I even put it on here. Maybe I did. Is it on here somewhere? Let's see. No.
I didn't see it on the list, bother. Actually. But, you know, what do I know?
I didn't bother. That was just the headline alone was funny. It was like Joe Biden finds his inner FDR. And
yes.
Like I read like, I don't know, half the article maybe. And then just like, you know, tossed it aside. Like, I know where this is going. Sure. Like, it's just like, well, you know, compared to the most far right you can possibly be. compared to Milei, Biden sort of on 1.5 issues is reminiscent in a distant way of right. FDR. But like the beginning of it was funny too, because it was like it was almost like the first sentence, I think, was like, Joe Biden is definitely not a socialist. And I was like, what?
Wait, say it again? Say it ain't so.
And then it was like quoting him saying it. And that reminded me actually about how he, when he was like debating, I think it was during the debates with Trump, because Trump was just, you know, of course, doing what he does, which is like
be cool and funny,
gaslight the shit out of his opponents as well, because he was, you know, the far left agenda of Biden, and Biden's like, hey, I'm no socialist. I beat the socialist.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's
just, I beat the socialist to get here.
It's just like the border wall thing. It's like,
yeah,
don't react that like you're reacting. You're playing into their hands by accepting their fucking, like, framing of the situation. Like, Trump calls you a socialist, just say, yeah, fuck it, yes. The border, like, the border crisis thing, the fact that they're like, yes, the border crisis is so bad, and we want to fix it, but they won't let us. And it's like, okay, and why won't they let us? Well, Trump is refusing, he's saying no, he doesn't want it to happen while I'm president. Okay, so the people who believe that the border crisis is an issue, what you just told them is, if you want the border crisis to be fixed, vote for Trump. Like, it's never going to happen while I'm president? What the fuck are you thinking?
It's almost like he's not.
Yeah. Whoops. Just fucking completely brain dead. That's why I said there was a moment where I figured Trump would win, or Trump couldn't win. But Jesus Christ, man. It's like they're trying. It's like they're trying to lose.
Democrats trying to lose strategically? I won't hear of it, sir. How dare you?
Well, is it too late? Is it too late for Hillary to jump in? Is that what the plan is?
Oh, right. Thank you for reminding me. I would have forgotten about that. Yeah. Where the fuck is... I also didn't put that you on the list, but it's in our chat, right. So I'll find the chat.
The notes are for, like, the nerds. The real... we do those in the chat for some reason.
The real heads hack into our private chat. Yeah,
that's where you see what we're actually going to talk about.
Oh. I mean, basically... I don't know. What was this shit? It was... oh yeah, I saw a YouTube video on some channel called Middle East Eye. I basically just looked at the summary of it though, and it's a picture of Hill Dog, our good friend Hillary
Clinton,
Pokemon Go anally kill Gaddafi Clinton.
Okay, sure, that makes sense.
I don't know.
Everyone,
didn't they do that to him?
Understands that.
Well, they like it was pretty vicious from what I read. Yeah. I didn't see any footage. I heard it was pretty Mussolini like. Yeah. Anyway, she said of Netanyahu, he is not a trustworthy leader and needs to go. I'll just read directly from this Middle East Eye thing.
Did she say that he needs to Pokemon Go to? Yes.
Yes. Quote. Netanyahu, quote, absolutely needs to Pokemon go to the polls for his handling of Israel's war on Gaza. Quote, Netanyahu should go to the polls. He's not a trustworthy leader. Why did they say it twice? Why am I reading this twice? It was on his watch that the October 7th attack happened, Clinton told MSNBC. He needs to go. And if he's an obstacle to...
This is the Bush talking point. Like... She's fucking, what, 20 years late to this? Like, this is what they should have said to Bush when he was, like, doing the rah-rah-rah 9-11 stuff, especially when he was running for a second term, where you say, like, it happened under your watch, but she's turning it on fucking Bibi? Like, they couldn't say it for fucking George Bush Jr., but they can say it for Netanyahu?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, like, it's a matter of convenience, right? It's just, like... Obviously, Hillary Clinton doing something politically convenient. I won't have it once again.
No fucking way. There's never, never, ever would she stay in a marriage where her husband cheats on her with literal children for political convenience.
I think I'm channeling Brooklyn Dad Defiant since somehow I started bringing him up earlier today. When I won't have it. We'll not talk about my queen like this. Yeah. No, you're right. Like, yeah, it was like so unseemly, even by like what, 2004, for right. like John Kerry to be like, you know, this happened on your watch,
right?
Like he, but of course he didn't. I mean, maybe one of the worst, maybe one of the most intentionally failing candidates of all time, I would say, or at least in my like recent lifetime or whatever.
Yeah.
What did she continue to say? BB, he needs to go. And if he's an obstacle to a ceasefire, that's just her even saying the word ceasefire is like all the people that have been like, you know, defending the ravenous, like pro-Israel, like Democrats probably loved this because they're like, see, guys, lefty people, like she's cool. She said the word ceasefire and didn't say the words no before it or ceasefires are for bitches. Anyway, if he's an obstacle to exploring what's to be done the day after, he absolutely needs to go. Okay. But then right after this, Clinton also defended Israel's conduct of the war in Gaza.
Fantastic. Quote,
What do you do with an aggressor? You have to stop them, she said. This combined with something else I saw on Twitter that was just like, it was like a, I didn't quite actually understand the context of this thing. Okay. But it was basically like, it was like Aaron Maté quoting, like, quote tweeting like this official Biden tweet that was just like a picture of him with Kamala that was just basically saying like, we couldn't do this without Kamala. It's like, you so could. But anyway, for some reason that tweet signaled to people that maybe like that maybe combined with all this like age shit that like isn't really being combated well at all, is like maybe they're getting ready to actually throw Kamala in the ring for the presidency, which would be the ultimate intentional fail. But anyway, so like within that, the context of that, I just, someone was like, they're totally going to run her as VP with Hill Dog. And I was like,
yes,
crazier things have happened.
I just sent you when you were saying like it was like him quote tweeting an official picture from the Biden Twitter or whatever. I sent you the picture that instantly popped into my head on the Discord, but it's a Pornhub thumbnail that says with a picture of Biden and Kamala that says interracial couple fuck entire nation. It's pretty good.
That's a good one.
And I got that from like a right wing psycho. This is why I follow right wing psychopaths and stuff on like Twitter and things. Because you find some shit like this where you're like, that's very funny.
Broken clock, man. Yeah. Broken clocks.
It's I'm just trying to do horseshoe theory in real life, you know?
Red brown alliance. That term always reminded me of like someone who has like just blood in their stool.
Yeah. It's not good. It's not good.
And then it also just like, it's like bloody stool plus Jackson Hinkle comes to mind when I hear Red Brown Alliance.
Oh, because Indian people love him, apparently. That was one of those weird ones. And he's red because he, you know, he's a white guy, and when we drink, we turn red or whatever. That's one of those Felix-isms where he was talking, like he does that sometimes where he just like starts saying something and he's really like convicted about it. But I'm like, I don't know if this is true, man. Because I've followed Jackson Hinkle for a bit. I don't know that he's like really popular with the Indian people or whatever.
Yeah, I didn't. But I also didn't doubt it because I don't really pay attention to that motherfucker. And I mean, I half like accidentally would. But
yeah. But speaking of right wing Indian influencers, did you hear about the guy who is trying to be the Indian Andrew Tate that calls himself Topjeet?
No, but I love it already.
Pretty good. Maybe we should talk about him sometime, huh? Teasing episodes down the line.
Yes, wink, wink. That'll fit in nicely with something secretive tonight.
You have to hack into the
just
Discord
make make it mysterious and overhype it.
Right.
Damn, I was going to say something, and it flew right out of my head there. I gotta reverse engineer Hinkle Red Brown Alliance.
Jacks his son's Hinkle off. That's not good. He shouldn't be doing that. That's probably not helping.
Oh, okay. I think I had sort of a vague outline of what we could do for the rest of this episode. Sort of a hard shift. Have you heard about this came up a little while ago and I wanted to talk about it, but I just forgot or whatever, you know, too many damn links or whatever. But this 9-month cruise that people are going on.
That sounds bad.
It's fucking crazy, man.
That's not good. What is this?
It's under added stuff since last week at the bottom.
Beautiful. All right. Oh, there it is.
So this also folds in nicely to like some other like stuff I've been interested in or like, I don't know, listening to lately. So like I'm a big David Foster Wallace fan, and he very famously somewhat famously, depending on whatever people pay attention to, wrote this long essay that's really great. Not essay, even just article about going on a cruise for like a week. And this was in like the mid 90s, and just like how depressing it was essentially. And, nice. But just, you know, with a lot of Wallace-y, flair and stuff. It's a great essay. And I had like re-listened to it not too long ago, and just got me thinking about cruises, of course, obviously. And like I started like getting this idea in my head for like maybe like some kind of fiction I could write, because I do that sometimes. And I was like imagining like a future world, you know, dystopic something or another, and like a single person finding like a massive cruise ship that's still like sort of intact, and like making use of that to like survive in the apocalypse or whatever. But anyway, and I got kind of excited about the idea. But then I started researching all this shit, like what is the largest cruise ship that exists? And it just so happens that the largest one has just like taken off recently. And it is like absurdly huge, this thing. It's called the Icon of the Seas. And that's not what this long cruise is, but... you know, I have a secondary article here just about America's cruise obsession, and they cite this gigantic new cruise ship that's just like, I don't even know what words to use. Like, decadent isn't strong enough of a word. But anyway, this...
Gen Z is to blame? They really got to tack that kind of stupid bullshit onto this? Like, geez, anyways.
They're blaming Gen Z for the cruise ships
being bigger, getting bigger and bigger. Yeah,
that doesn't.
That's feels that like
can't
clickbait.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Make any sense?
The god dang cruise ships have to keep getting bigger for all the avocado toast. That's millennials, anyways, isn't it?
We're running out of room. We have too much fucking avocado toast.
Yeah. You know what
I'm drowning
seeing?
In bread.
You know what I've been seeing? That I'm like, damn, how come my dumbass never thought of this shit before? It's like, you know, avocado toast, sure. But like, you can mix avocado with almost anything. And like, people doing stuff like egg salad with avocado mixed in it on toast. That stuff looks pretty good, man.
That sounds all right.
Or like cottage cheese mixed with avocado, and then you put it on the toast with some other stuff. I'm like, okay, like. I didn't really think about the fact that you could, you know, you don't have to just do avocado. You can mix the avocado with different things, and it kind of vibes with a lot of stuff. Anyways, I am like textbook millennial talking about avocados this way, but I swear to God, it's really from being like California Latino background. We used to eat avocados like on bread as a normal thing.
If I really like go back into my mind palace, I probably realistically didn't eat even a bite of avocado until I was like in my 20s.
Right. Yeah, it was a normal thing to just eat avocado on bread for me as a child.
Midwest doesn't cotton to that shit. Well, they do now.
I can't get the first article to open. I click
me
it and
either.
It just says
it's
the messenger
pissing me off.
Period, and then it says info at messenger.com.
Yeah, what the hell? It's really annoying.
Is this an ad block thing? Were you able to pull it up before?
I think so.
Is this a real article? Yeah, or did you get... Was this a trick from the beginning?
I mean, to be honest, I didn't really read it. But I saw the little headline. But I'm going to try to get it through archive. And then if that doesn't work, then fuck it. Because if it was a paywall thing, it would be more clear than what is actually coming out.
Yeah, I mean, this is weird. The situation that's going on.
It's very weird.
Well, okay, here's 1 hour ago from Brian Stelter, which I don't know if you know, but he's a very good man. According to Alex Jones, he's one of the best. It seems that since the time that you pulled this article and now, the messenger has gone out of business. Because this is an article called Anatomy of a Fall, Killing the Messenger. And it's written by Brian Stelter. It was published like an hour ago, it says.
Whoa.
I think the Messenger website has died in the time that you grabbed that link and now.
I grabbed that like today.
Yeah. I can't even read this. I probably have to go to archive.org or whatever to read this as well.
Archive.org just shows the same damn thing.
No, I'm saying to read even the Brian Stelter article.
Okay.
Because it's paywalled.
Well, what does come up is the Business Insider article about America's addiction to cruises. But what apparently this article on the website that just died.
This is crazy. Yeah, anyway. Their Twitter.
It's like going into the food situation, and I did see like a quick picture, and it looked absolutely disgusting. That's what caught my eye first. It was like there was some disgusting looking food. Maybe this. Here we go. The Guardian. This thing's going on for a while, so I'm sure
it's a long cruise, buddy.
Updated at some point. We have some update on the food, but the picture on the top of this Business Insider article, that's of the largest cruise ship in the world now, the Icon of the Seas. I know because in my little obsessive research for this thing I was starting to write, and I'm working on it slowly. I was like looking at like blueprints and shit of this fucking thing and like looking at how it was built and like trying to figure out, I don't know, just getting way deep dive obsessive on it.
Okay, this fucking article on today is like, what is the 9-month cruise all over TikTok? And it keeps talking about TikTok. Like, they really want to make this cruise thing a Gen Z thing.
Vox has a similarly titled article.
Jesus.
9-month cruise that took over TikTok.
These kids are obsessed. And it's like, they're not on the fucking cruise. It's not their fault that the cruise exists. They're just like, maybe they're talking about it. Also, like,
that's what I was going to say. Yeah. If anything, they're watching, they're looking and laughing. Yeah. And like,
they're freaks. All right, here we go.
It's a fascinating phenomenon, but I don't think it's like, broke young people who traditionally love cruises.
Right.
I mean, it's the exact opposite. What the fuck are these people talking about?
All right, I'm on our cruise.
Like that in that David Foster Wallace essay, and again, like I said, that was 96. He was probably like in his like mid 30s at the time, and he said he was by far the youngest person on that cruise.
Nice.
Like it was just. It's retirees. It's what you expect, basically.
Right.
I mean, with some exceptions, but whatever.
Yeah, like sexy-ass David Foster Wallace.
He's a handsome man. He was.
I call him DF Dub.
You got to shorten that W, of course.
Yes.
Okay, but this 9-month cruise is all, with the same... company, which is the Royal Caribbean. They, I guess, they're the company that has like the most big ass, massive cruise ships of all the cruise companies. And they're the ones with this record breaking one. But one of their, like, I don't know, maybe second biggest ones is the one that's going around the world. 150 ports of call, 60 countries, 7 continents, all 4 corners, one epic voyage, reads Royal Caribbean's marketing materials for the ultimate world cruise. Prices range from around $54,000 to $117,000 per person. That actually sounds cheaper than I would expect for how fucking long that is and how far they're going.
That is for sure.
Because I saw price. Okay. I looked at the prices for the Icon of the Seas, like just for like a regular like 1 week cruise or something, and it was like almost up there in the $50,000 range. You know, it was not cheap.
This has got to be gimmicked out in a way where it's like you're paying a lot more because it's super long and you're not going to get a ton of amenities. That's number one. Number two, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I had a number two, but I did want to say, what if it was a 9-month Ted cruise and you got 9 months to explore his body sexually? And it's all holes, no loads refused, all holes are open for business.
Note to self, insert John Mayer's Your Body is a Wonderland over this part.
Perfect. Anyways. I mean, that would be worth a couple grand, at least.
What a horrible, horrible vision of the future. But, like, yeah, this sounds like... I mean, if we could revive... Look, I love David Foster Wallace, but here comes a tasteless suicide joke. If we could revive his ass, he would immediately hang himself again. Because if he saw this, I mean, he would probably anyway, if he just took any, like, one look at the world as it is. But, yeah. like, he nearly, like, killed himself in the mid-90s because of, like, being on a cruise, which he was getting paid to be on and write about, by the way. So even in that scenario, he was like, this is killing me. Like, this is making me so sad. Granted, you know, clinical depression and all that. But anyway.
The world is a fuck, man.
So this cruise ship is the Serenade of the Seas. I don't know. It does seem like there's a lot of TikTok videos about this, but this whole idea of like blame it on Gen Z is way
out of line.
They would
be doing the cruise if the videos were on TikTok or not. They would still be on the cruise. They had done all that before the TikTok videos started. It wasn't like there were people making TikTok videos saying they should do a 9-month cruise.
Yeah, and then, like, it says here, multiple videos about the cruise went viral, among them a video called Things That Stress Me Out About the 9-Month Cruise, in which the poster listed everything from, quote, alcoholism to, quote, serial killers as potential threats, and a bingo card that included both a first and a second COVID outbreak, a pirate takeover, a wedding, mass STDs, a mental breakdown, and naturally, a podcast upon return. One creator started a series called Ship Happens, where she meticulously documents everything that happens on the boat. Anyway, this cruise is fucking crazy, y'all. I know it's slightly late to this news, but, you know, it's going to go on for 9 months, so I think it's worth keeping up with, because some people are going to be losing their minds, I think. Like, right. I think weird shit's going to be going down. That's all I'll say. So, yeah. A supposedly fun thing. I'll never TikTok again. God damn, that was bad.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, bad.
I liked it. It was good.
I was actually just sort of thinking out loud, like, how can I shoehorn this into a title for the episode today?
Okay, I like it.
But we'll see. I'll have to think on it a bit. But let's maybe close out, unless you got more on cruises. We got to talk about this guy I've just learned about recently. Dusty Deaver.
Oh, yes, you sent me this. I looked at it very minimally, so tell me about this guy.
He makes Mike Pence as well. He makes Mike Johnson and Mike Pence look like new atheists by comparison, by how insanely Christian he is. Actually, he's kind of basically on their wavelength, but I think more extreme from what I can tell. So yeah, he's a this Rolling Stone article about him is entitled "This Lawmaker Wants to Jail People for Watching Porn." Oklahoma lawmaker Dusty Devers is a hardcore Christian nationalist who believes the government should, quote, terrorize evildoers.
I mean,
I wish he said terrorize terrorists.
I can't argue with that, though. You know, like
solid logic.
I don't like evildoers. I don't think that they should sleep easy at night. Do you? But that's why we have the Batman.
You've got to get into a little bit of the particulars about what constitutes evil doing, because you may be hoisting yourself by your own petard, as people like to say.
Uh-oh. I don't like where this is going.
I didn't say petard. I said petard, but now I did just say petard. Yeah. I think I also said retard earlier this episode anyway.
You did? But
whatever.
I thought it was cool. I was like, damn, that's pretty boss. He did the R word.
Man, it's all context.
Yeah.
I love the mentally retarded.
Who doesn't? They're hilarious. The other,
you know, Shane Gillis has, I'm not, huge on Shane Gillis. Like, I think he's, whatever. Like,
sexually,
he doesn't. He's like whatever. He's not my, we wouldn't agree about politics, right? But I've watched two of his stand-up specials and they're fucking funny as fuck, and some of what he's talking about is, I don't know, because he got canceled for doing Asian speak. Was it on Cumtown?
No,
it wasn't Cumtown.
No, that's
it was something
thing.
Else.
That's the thing. Like, I should probably watch his stand up because I've liked the Gillian Keeves sketch stuff that I've seen, but I've never really enjoyed him on his podcast, which is called Matt and Shane's Secret Podcast, and that was where he said the thing. But also, he didn't say the thing. Like, a lot of the a lot of the stuff and the clip that went around that went viral that got him canceled was it was more of him just laughing and going along with his co-host, which is Matt McClucksky or whatever, doing the Asian voice and being really offensive and stuff. Now that's also, to be fair, Shane did that stuff too, but the clip that went around and got viral and got him fired, he was not really doing anything. He was agreeing with someone. Going along stupid. With the joke, you know, whatever, it doesn't matter. That's jokes are funny, right? That's the whole thing. Jokes are funny. But I should watch his stand up and give him a chance because I find him not very funny on the podcast. But as a podcast,
I felt the same way. And just for out of curiosity, it was on it's on YouTube for free, so sure. It's just all right, and I think there's two of them now, and I thought they were both pretty funny. And the way he has a bit on the Special Olympics that fucking crushes, man. What can I say? And it's not derogatory at all towards.
Right. Well, the thing is, one of him or his co-hosts on that podcast both have a brother who's retarded or something. Like, they talk about that.
Yeah, he talks about how he's the people that wag their fingers at me or people like me. Don't have family members with Down syndrome.
Right.
I do. And that guy is fucking awesome and he's funny and he does funny shit. And I'm going to talk about it and mention the fact that, and then he also even says that he looks like I look like I have Down syndrome or something. I don't know. Something like that. But anyway.
Okay, while we're on this topic, though, because we're probably not going to hit this article because we're closing out right now, but there was an Elon Musk article about Neuralink, and if he really was an ally for, his brothers in the on the spectrum, he would have called it a Neuralink. So atypical Neuralink, but he did not. So, hey, you know. Anyways.
Atypical Neuralink, solid, got legs. That shit's definitely.
I guess it should have been neuroatypical link. That's the way that it was supposed to be said, but I forgot.
Right.
Yeah. Neuroatypical link. Anyways, I thought about it earlier, and then I forgot what I was going to say, and I was trying to bring it back now.
I think we can still talk about this Deaver
yes,
a bit.
Yes, please.
He's a state senator. I think he's maybe running for the big office.
Right.
I'm not even totally clear on that, but he's got some wacky ideas. Let's see. So he's a preacher. If you go to his like website too, like the way he talks about himself is kind of funny. Like the first thing he describes himself as is always either Christian or preacher, and then like husband and father take the back seat. I don't know. I just find that amusing. But it's in some ways it's kind of like the same old story of like Republican hypocrisy, but he's just like taking it to like a new levels, it seems like, because he is actually like written bills about like outlawing pornography and like, yeah, wants to just flat out outlaw abortion. But that's also kind of like, I mean, he's kind of more putting his money where his mouth is on that than like your typical GOP-er, I guess. Sorry, I'm getting it. There's just like a lot to take in here. I did read this. I swear. He's still really hung up on the like whatever that fucking like story time, like trans story time or whatever. Like reading to children in libraries.
Yeah. He's upset because like he thinks that women who are not real women should be allowed to read books that he can't.
Yeah. And it just seems like, man, didn't all you guys like stop bringing that one up a while ago? But or I don't know, maybe they didn't. But this also just they try to make him seem like he's like he like looks kind of like cool and modern with close cropped hair and salt and pepper beard and tailored jackets. Deavers doesn't look the part of a fire breather. Often donning clear acetate glasses, he gives elder millennial vibes. I think they say he's like 47. That's beyond.
Geriatric millennial, but sure, whatever.
I'm at the precipice of elder millennial, and I'm not 47. Well. No.
Not quite yet. Anyways.
But yeah, the tale as old as time part is like he's just lists all these ways that he wants to like get inside people's houses and lives and like just control everybody via the federal government. And then in the same sentence is like, we need freedom, freedom yeah. from this tyrannical Biden government. He basically is like, I want to make it illegal to jack off, but illegal to have mask mandates, essentially.
Right. Yeah. I do like that.
His bill defines pornography with uncanny attention to detail as falling into one of 10 categories, including sexual intercourse, which is normal or perverted, yeah. anal sodomy, excretion in the context of sexual conduct, as well as lewd exhibition of the uncovered genitals, buttocks, or, if such person is female, the breast. The bill would also criminalize sexting, except between spouses. I wonder if he specifies cishet spouses only, though.
Well, I gotta give the man credit, and you look at this picture at the header at the top of his website. Six kids. Got a big old grin on his face, and he's saying that he wants sexting to be legal for spouses. And you look at his wife, and she's looking pretty good. So I gotta say, I understand why you have six kids with a lady that looks like that, man. So he's just, he's got a lust for life and he wants to be able to keep fucking his wife a bunch.
Yeah. And he's upset, you know, the classic thing, one man, one woman, like, you know, we need that family that's the cornerstone of Western civilization and the Bible. there's another part, I think it's on his website, like under his issues or whatever, where he's like, biblically instructed, I just found it. I will champion biblical economic principles.
Hell yeah.
By promoting limited government intervention, fostering free market competition, and advocating for sound monetary policy and lower taxes, we need to start by eliminating the state income tax and franchise tax. I remember that part of the Bible. Classic, yeah, yeah. Bible verse.
Some Bible. Like, you should,
I say unto money. You, foster free market competition.
I like that he wants to stop Biden's 30x30 land grab. I'm big yeah. into that. It's Biden's 30x30 initiative. Because I don't think it's right that he thinks that everyone who's 30 years old should only be able to have sex with other people that are 30. I think just because you're 30 doesn't mean you can't have a little bit of an age gap in your relationship, you know?
If you're under 30, you could only have 30 children. You got to wait till you're 30, 31 to have more.
That's fair. That's fair.
He also says here, with the abortion thing, it's like, dude, you're in Oklahoma. He acknowledges it, like Oklahoma, it's already essentially illegal to get an abortion now. But he's like, but people are still getting pills through the mail. It's like, how the fuck are you going to stop that, man?
I'm going to get rid of the mail and pills.
Yeah, I'm going to get rid of the mail. Yeah. I'm going to have more kids and set them up at the post office. Their little tiny hands can sort through the envelopes real fast. Yeah, I don't know. This guy's definitely going to keep coming up, I feel like.
I like him a lot.
To some capacity.
I just wish that we could somehow get him and Barack Obama Mandela to debate. You know?
Oh, right, because BOM, as yes. I now call him,
everyone knows
is Jewish. He's of a Jewish-ish persuasion. So maybe they'd like get into the theological battle. Because you know how a lot of evangelicals are like, Of course you know, but I'm just saying, like, they love, they love Zionism, so they pay lip service to, like, the Judeo-Christian values. Right. I don't think this guy does
no,
that.
No, no, no.
I didn't see it on his website or anything.
Not at all. Like,
he's, like, straight up Christian or fucking take a hike, Jack.
Yeah. He's not one of those, evangelicals are into that bullshit. I don't think he's into that, like, in time, trying to bring about end times thing with the Zionism? No, I think he's
doesn't seem like it. He actually seems pretty, at least in his like platform on his website, he seems pretty focused on his state.
Right. Yeah,
like it's good. Just it's not it's it's rarely like the country. It's like Oklahoma this, Oklahoma that. So I don't know. I mean, but also he's pretty small fry right now. Maybe once he gets up into the big leagues, like, that's when the shift will come, right? Because the AIPAC lobbyists will swarm him, and if he resists that, I'll give him props for that at least. Yeah. But
he's unlikely. Got some good endorsements. He's got the. Young Americans for Liberty, that's a good one. Oklahoma Second Amendment Association, let's keep it local. Oklahoma's
big on guns, health. Of course. Yeah.
Oklahomans for health and parental rights, that's pretty good. Don't know what that is, but he's got Gun Owners of America, GOA, and that's the more based NRA. So he's definitely doing it. If you're not into the NRA and all their soy cuck lib shit, you go after the gun owners of America. They're more like salt of the earth. We're just about guns. We're not trying to, you know, get into all this other stuff. Because, like, the NRA even, like, supports Israel and shit. Like, they get money through AIPAC as well. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the gun owners of America are more like, they're the more based gun owners association, which is pretty sick. So, yeah, he's probably not, like, an Israel guy, which is... It's good.
Not yet.
It's like, yeah. Not yet. But maybe.
Not yet. That's what I would say, yeah. Goa, of course, being a major state in India, to bring it back to Indian people who like conservative nutcases online.
You know, Dusty Duvers, I think he could be a MAGA communist or whatever the fuck... Jackson Hinkle says, what is it?
Was no, that it? No, man. He invokes like Marxism and the left like way too much, like in a non savory way.
That's true.
Yeah, which of course he believes like the country is being indoctrinated with by O'Biden himself. Yep. He's always out there spitting, you know, Das Kapital at us from the bully pulpit.
He could be. We just can't really understand anything he's saying.
My God, can you imagine the slurring if he tried to read a page of like any dense text? Like when he's just speaking like off the dome, he's just like. That was the other thing I wanted to point out with that angry fucking appearance he did for the press. Like his slurring is just. Non-stop. Like, how do people not notice this shit? I mean, again, I know it's like denial or whatever, but it's like
that's ableist.
He's a classic
slur, speech impediment, stutter, and you're over here making
always had it.
Mm-hmm. And you are attacking him for it.
Pull up any clips, just not any between now and when he was 5 years old. But pull up any otherwise and try to find that he's speaking normally. Yeah, I said normally.
Wow. All
right.
Neurotypically, you might say.
Could be a good place to leave it. I feel like we're getting in and out of here faster than usual, which is
That's good.
Started on us. Late,
you know?
True.
Backed up stuff to talk about.
Right. And general recommendations.
I had something and I forgot it. So,
I got something. You can maybe it'll come back to you.
Maybe.
There's this animated show I was reminded of the other day that John Hodgman and his friend David Reese. Another pretty funny guy.
Oh, man. That's a good show.
Dicktown. I'm recommending Dicktown. You've seen it?
I have. I thought maybe there's like a newer season that I haven't watched yet, but I definitely did watch
it. I wish. There's two seasons, and the episodes are super short. I guess it was part of this like animation block thing on like FXXX or something like that.
Sure.
But, it's basically, I mean, I'm just on the wiki here. The concept has been described as a mix of a little Encyclopedia Brown, a little Scooby-Doo, and a lot of heart. I guess, I don't know about the lot of heart. It's pretty, I don't know. It's just funny. It's got a lot of good, all those L.A. comedian types, like your John Glazers, your... Griffin, well, he's not new. He's New York. Griffin Newman's, your Kristen Schaal's, Paul F. Tompkins's. Oh, they were like just the regular ones. And the guest people got Galifianakis in there. Anyway, it's like, but actually that quote didn't explain it very well. So like it's The main character played by John Hodgman, whose name is John Hunchman, which is pretty good. He's like, as a kid, he was like a boy detective who would like go around solving like little kid like mysteries or whatever. But he never grew up. He never left his hometown. And he's like still doing the same thing. But just, you know, he's getting involved in like more like serious adult shit or whatever. At least the way I remember it. But it's just funny. It's a very funny show. And
yeah, you know what?
I recommend it.
The idea of the film, right, is that he's a boy. He was a boy genius or a boy sleuth or whatever, who'd like never launched and just basically stayed in the same neighborhood doing the same stuff that he was doing as a kid, as an adult.
And his partner, who's played by David Reese, his friend, his real life friend, David Reese, he was his like most terrorizing bully when they were children, but they both just remained like townies and like ended up like working together in this, you know, detective, you know, very unofficial detective outfit that they have going. And he's like, I think the character is just kind of like the enforcer or whatever. But
it's good stuff. His muscle. It's pretty good. On the same concept, the same idea, I will recommend Mystery Team. Did you ever watch this movie? It was the Derek comedy movie from 2009. And it was made before.
No.
It was like at the time where they were starting to get traction on, on the internet, but it was before, Donald Glover became like a hit thing, big star. I think he was probably already writing for 30 Rock at this point.
I see that Aubrey Plaza is involved, so I'm already on board.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm that guy.
It's the same. It's actually honestly almost the same concept, but totally different sense of humor, because Hunchman is the kind of guy who's going to put lots of heart in it. And this like this film has some like really foul, gross out humor stuff in it that I would definitely recommend checking it out. So it's Derek comedy, I think. I think maybe their most famous sketch that went viral on the internet was probably the dry blowjob, which they're not even in. Do you know the dry blowjob thing?
It's not ringing a bell. But this movie,
Ellie Kemper, before anyone even knew who she was, saying like she's it's just her in like POV, like she's about to give someone a blowjob in a porn, and she's talking about how she's gonna make her mouth really dry. And it's the person's good. Like, no, that's bad. And she's like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to use a lot of teeth, you know? And it's just like, yeah, that's bad. Like, and that was them. But like, I don't think people really even realize that. And like, people don't even realize that that's her, because it was like so early on the internet and it was such a quick little thing. And then their second most probably well-known sketch was the bro rape sketch, which is the idea that like Donald Glover pays a character as like he's your bro, he's your buddy in college or whatever, and he's just like chill, but then like he rapes his dorm mate or whatever, like his bro. He rapes him in their dorm room in college, and it's like a PSA warning about like the commonality of like bro rape. Like, oh, you know, you think that this guy is just a bro and everything's cool, but you have to watch out because he might try to rape you. Like, and so they were kind of getting some heat on the internet from all this stuff. I think they had done some stuff on like, Channel Zero? I don't remember. There's like
Channel,
a sketch comedy.
Channel 101? Is it 101?
Yeah, yes, that's it. Yeah, 101 or whatever. They got some heat on there. Go ahead.
The only thing I always associate with that channel is this, like, it was like a short sketch series that now I can't even remember the name, but it involved Jesus Christ as like, I think also a private detective possibly, that I remember thinking was funny, but it's also probably very like 2005 or whatever. But anyway, please continue.
I mean, that was very, very popular, you know, in the 2000s and the 2010s, Private Detectives was like a vein of yeah, it was Channel 101. The thing that I always think of from Channel 101 is don't fuck with swords. That's just like the one that I always remember. But anyways, they were getting heat on all of that. They got developed to make this this movie. I think at this point, probably Donald Glover was already writing for 30 Rock and SNL and all that. And it's, like I said, it's the same concept as Dicktown, where they are mystery team. They were like the kids in the neighborhood. You know, it's one of them is the master of disguises. One was the boy genius and one is the strongest kid in town. And they were like a team that solved mysteries together. But now they're like 20 somethings who didn't leave town and they're still solving like mysteries and doing like investigations like little kids would do on a cartoon or a TV show or whatever. But they're doing it as like adults, and it's got a lot of, like I said, a lot of good stuff. It's very funny. And even though it's the same concept as Dicktown and it came out before Dicktown, like I said, it's very different in the sensibility of the humor. So I would recommend checking both out because you can get something very different from both things.
I'm definitely going to watch this probably today because I'm looking at the cast and I mean, the concept sounds great. But great cast. There's Aubrey Plaza is mentioned. Ellie Kemper, she's good. Zeke Heil and all that. Matt Walsh, the good Matt Walsh, by the way. And let me just say, as an aside, I've fucking always resented the fucking shitty Matt Walsh being named Matt Walsh because I've loved UCB for fucking ever, and Matt Walsh is one of my favorite guys.
That's fair, and so you can say
now his name is tarnished.
You can say, "Oh, his name is tarnished," and he's the good Matt Walsh. But which Matt Walsh has been photographed, has been filmed with a not with a swastika tattoo? So I don't know.
The UCB one? I mean, I don't know.
Yes. You don't remember that? It was from Community. There was an episode of Community where there was like they found a secret hidden trampoline and Matt Walsh was like the landscaping guy that had the hidden trampoline.
Oh, yeah.
And they were we should have realized he was racist at some point. And they show him with his shirt off and he's got a swastika tattooed on his chest. Yeah.
Still better than the shitty Matt Walsh. Yeah. even if that was a real thing. Yeah.
It's got John Daly, John Lutz.
John Daly, Neil Casey is fucking hilarious, too. Wait, is that who I'm thinking of? Neil Casey?
Sure. Probably.
Anyway, I don't know. There's so many UCB people.
It's very good.
Good.
Yeah. It was, it came out around the time where, the Los Angeles UCB was, like, a thing. Which it still exists, but it's not, like, a scene like it was at this time. Anyways.
Wasn't it kind of new at that around that point? Yeah. Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it was just New York for a long time.
It was.
Yes, Neil Casey. That's who I was thinking of. The guy who was in Lady Ghostbusters as the villain. Okay. He's really hilarious in other stuff. Ghostbusters.
He was not good in that.
I mean, I might get canceled for this. Neil Casey was the best part of Lady Ghostbusters.
Oh.
Actually, my honest opinion is Zach Woods in the opening of Lady Ghostbusters was the best part of Lady Ghostbusters because that guy, just seeing him makes me laugh, like without him even doing anything.
Sure.
He's so fucking funny. Well, so I guess I'm recommending Zach Woods as well in general as a cool guy to look out for.
Unlike you and your sexist opinion on the Lady Ghostbusters, as you call it, I think the best part of the Lady Ghostbusters film was the ladies and their pussies.
Yeah.
That's what I liked about that movie.
Tim just lifted up his shirt to show the futurist female tattoo he has. All right, folks, I think we'll end it. Basically there, Heat Death of the Universe stuff on the internet. Check out the show notes. Discord. I believe we got one new Discord person since the last episode.
No, it was more than that. Anyway.
I don't know. Anyway, just look at the show notes to find more stuff, including the other stuff that Tim does.
Oh, yeah. I do a podcast on the Violent People Podcast Network. Check out violentpeople.co to find out about
Q ampersand. Is it ampersand?
No. Yes.
Q ampersand T space A-R-E. I saw it in my podcatcher today, and I was like,
I don't like
didn't
it.
Get that letter R. Didn't get that letter
no,
R yet.
That's what I want. Yeah.
You want that R word.
Q N T R word. Yes.
Oh, that's even better. Yeah. All right. Close out there. Except let's talk to our dear friend Joe Biden, because as he always says, as J. Robin at B always says, hey, I got a great memory there, Strom Thurmond. How dare you say I can't remember which my son's died? I know when he died. He died in Waterloo, 1948, Plymouth Rock, Spain, Normandy. I wear the rosary he got me from Our Lady of the Beatniks of... How dare you, Nancy Ocasio-Flores? I know who I am. I'm the one pulled up Reagan's bootstraps, chewed on Jill's finger in front of Ray Charles and everyone. God damn it! All right, that's it. And scene.
Old man rhythm is in my shoes. It's no use of sitting and singing the blues. So be my guest, you've got nothing to lose. Won't you let me take you on a sea cruise? Ooh-wee, ooh-wee, baby. Ooh-wee, ooh-wee, baby. Ooh-wee, ooh-wee, baby. Won't you let me take you on a sea cruise? Feel like jumping, baby, won't you join me, please? Knife in the back. So be my guest, you've got nothing to lose. Won't you let me take you on a sea cruise? Ooh-wee, ooh-wee, baby. Ooh-wee, ooh-wee, baby. Ooh-wee, ooh-wee, baby. Won't you let me take you on a sea cruise? Baby, I ain't lying. My heart is beating rhythm and it's right on time. So be my guest, you've got nothing to lose. Won't you let me take you on a sea cruise? Ooh-wee, ooh-wee, baby. Ooh-wee, ooh-wee, baby. Ooh-wee, ooh-wee, baby. Won't you let me take you on a sea cruise? Feel like jumping, baby, won't you join me, please?
The first voice recording was made in 1860. It was a 10-second fragment of the French folk song Au Clair de la Lune recorded by inventor Edward Leon Scott de Martinville. But who will make the final voice recording and when? What will it be? Who will hear it?